Blog Talk Radio.
People around you should really have nothing to say. Me, I'm just proud of the fact that you've done it your way. And the weekend's here, started it right. Even if you only get part of it right. Live for today, plan for tomorrow. Party tonight, party tonight. Dying to meet your girlfriends that you said you might bring. If they're the ones that tell you that you do the right thing, oh. But I gotta say, oh baby, why is this so familiar? Just met already, feel like I know the real her. You must have done this before, this can't be your first time. We must have been here before, it's still fresh on my mind. You got that shit that somebody would look for but won't find. You must have done this before, this can't be your first time. They keep telling me don't save you. If I ignore all that advice, if something isn't right, then who will I complain to? But the weekend's here, started it right. Even if I only get part of it right. Live for today, plan for tomorrow. Party tonight, party tonight. You got your guards up, I do too. There's things we might discover. Cause you got a past and I do too. We're perfect for each other.
Houston girls, not the way it goes down. Atlanta girls, not the way it goes.
But I gotta say, oh baby, why is this so familiar? Just met already, feel like I know the real her. You must have done this before, this can't be your first time. We must have been here before, it's still fresh on my mind. You got that shit that somebody would look for but won't find. You must have done this before, this can't be your first time.
Cause to her I'm just a rapper and soon she'll have met another. So if tonight's an accident, tomorrow we'll recover. And I know I'm not supposed to judge a book by its cover. I don't want to be in the blind, but sometimes I stevie wonder about her. And she with it, if I'm with it, and I'm with it. I know what makes her smile, but I won't know what makes her different. Or should I just be realistic? Lipstick on the glass. See, I know this ain't your first, but it's better than your last.
You must have done this before, this can't be your first time. We must have been here before, it's still fresh on my mind. You got that shit that somebody would look for but won't find. You must have done this before, this can't be your first time.
Shower her with dollar tips. Shout it when and bought a whip. Guarantee the city remember your whole name. You throw that hoe a scholarship. All of them ain't all equipped. And this saddens me. I see the pecking order. Quote unquote bad bitches work the whole flow. Those that get laughed at sit off in a corner. Like a lab rat, nobody wanna. Niggas that are married don't wanna go home, but we look up to them. They wish they were us. They want some new trim. We lust for some trust. Now the both of us are colorblind, cause the other side looks greener. which leaves your turf in a Boise state. Can't see or play other team, cuz everybody has an addiction. Mine happens to be you. And those who say they don't source will later on say to them that ain't true. All of them will have an opinion, but y'all know what y'all can do with them. But if you're unsure, I'll take you on tour to a place you can stick that in. Well, sitting here sad as hell, listening to Adele, I feel you, baby. Someone like you, more like someone unlike you, or something that's familiar, maybe. And I can tell that she wants a baby, and I can yell, girl, that you're crazy. Oh, what the hell, nope, can't be lazy. Please be careful, bitches got the rabies.
Please. Baby, 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 baby them out the way. All bad decisions that I wanna make. I want your body in a million ways. Nobody ever makes me feel the same when I'm with you. Watch it up nice and slow. In the back.
Salutations and good day. Welcome to 50 Radio Universe Presents War Council. Technically, I'm kind of sick, so I kind of was not on my job the way that I'm usually on my job, but just, I got my research done now, so it's kind of good. But, we're going to have people join us late. We're going to be going back and forth. We're going to have an open discussion. We're going to talk about some things, put some facts and figures forth. If you would like to participate, please raise your hand. I see some of the good people from Epiphany in here already. I'm just going to open their mics. All right, so we're gonna have this nice little open discussion. Somebody's got some stuff going on in the background. Hold on, let me see what that is.
Find evidence of an even larger predator in the area.
Oh, you
That's Paul. Paul got all my stuff. Right,
that's
you got a loud background.
On the mouth.
Can y'all hear me?
Can y'all hear me?
All right, Paul, you got a loud background. That's it. Yep.
I don't even think he's a carry.
Hopefully, if he hears me, he'll understand. He has to raise his hand. I'm trying to imbibe all these different things, this zinc and all this other crazy stuff that I got going on right now. But I got some black elderberry, 1,000 milligrams. Woo!
Wow.
Get it in there, make it feel good. Trying to get it done. All right. So, just for the record, welcome. This is the For Real Entertainment Network here on the Patriot Radio Universe, where we encourage you to take your socks off of your baby. All right, and that being said, while we're waiting for the fellas and gentlemen to join us, we're going to be talking about dating with kids, you know, of course, with the scintillating conversation, Credible Neo. So this might be a short conversation because I'm really not feeling it. And I'm feeling particularly silly because I just feel silly. And I'm about to drug myself up later on, not tactically, cold medicine, calm yourselves, non-addictive, just so everybody knows. You know, think there's people over here, you know, drugging themselves on air. I'm like, what you doing? I'm like, no, it's cold medicine. I'm at the 4-hour mark. That's how I'm doing it. Anyway, so we're going to talk about dating with kids, but before we do that, let me put out some of the things. I got this article from Hack Spirit. All right, and Hack Spirit says, is there someone you're interested in, but the fact that they're a parent makes you a little unsure? Maybe you wanted to ask them out, but you're hesitant what might follow if you end up hitting it off. Dating on its own is hard enough, let alone factoring kids into the mix. But it doesn't have to be that hard. So we're going to cover everything you need to know before dating someone with kids to make the process easier and clearer for you to navigate. This sounds like bullshit, but we're going to read it anyway. All right. It does, which is nuts. All right. Has a lot of stuff in here, but all right, there's one very important detail to factor in. They've got kids. To some, the idea of dating an awesome, outgoing mom or a caring, loving single father is very appealing. They know how to love fiercely and enjoy to be around children, but not everybody feels that way. You might be looking for someone or someone casual. You may feel very uncomfortable around children, especially if you hadn't had many experiences with them. Maybe the thought of being a stepmom or a stepdad makes you choke up and panic because you want a relationship, not an instant family. Ooh, bullshit. In that case, you might think long and hard before dating someone with kids. If your heart is in it, it's best to avoid getting involved. And if you think it could work, go for it. All right. This is, let me see. Has these questions. Some of these questions like this. I said, dating kids is a wonderful, rich relationship when it comes to how mature you are. Essentially, you're not dating the mom and dad. You're going to become part of the family structure one way or the other. That's going to be important. We're going to put that in the parking lot and come back to it. All right. Given time, the kids might start to see you as a parental figure in their lives, which isn't a role that should be taken lightly. Some questions or factors may be thought of beforehand. Do you think you're mature enough to handle a relationship with kids? Sure, you might like the woman or man you just met, but are you in it for the long run, or are you looking for a bit of fun? Do you even like kids? Do you even like kids? That's a major thing right there. Do you even like kids? Ooh. Are you willing to share your partner knowing that their number one priority will always be their kids? Are you comfortable with knowing they will always have to maintain a relationship with their ex, the parent of their children? Are you willing to put the time and effort into building a relationship with the children? And this is the truth is, it doesn't always fall into place easily. And that's why we're going to have this conversation this evening. It's going to be good. Because sometimes they don't. All right, in some cases, you'll fit together like the perfect puzzle. In others, it might take time for you to find your place in the family. Kids may take longer to warm up to you, and you need to be prepared for that. But there's one thing to understand is that children will form an attachment to you. I don't always believe that to be true. And if you plan to stick around for a short while and make a hasty escape, it can be devastating effects on the child. That's why it's good to have your mind made up first before committing to the relationship. All right, so I'm going to leave these questions for anything else, but I'm going to just open up the floor for dialogue and conversation. How do y'all feel about those questions when it comes to dating someone with the kids? Are these important factors to consider when you're thinking about dating someone with kids?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They should be priority thought. above anything else, because the kids do take priority when it comes down to a single parent dating. And I think it is a very important thing for you to have at least a like for children. Okay, that way you can you'll be open to building a relationship with that child, because as you build a relationship with the parent, you're definitely going to have a relationship with the child. And you know, kids can pick up on your energy quicker than anything. Okay. And I mean, I love children. You gotta love the babies. I don't care how old they are, you know. And everybody has their own little individual crap with them. So you, just like the parents have to learn their kid, they know about it, you're going to learn them too, you know, as they're learning you. So it's important to, if you want to be in a relationship with a single parent, you have to be willing to be in a relationship with that child as well. Yeah. Other than that, keep it, kick rock. Don't even come my way. No.
Kick rocks. Okay. Serena, what's your opinion on it? Serena.
I apologize. I have myself on mute. Can you hear me?
We can hear you
now.
Hello? I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I agree. I agree. The article said that there are, if you're not invested in both the, you know, both relationships, and it makes no sense to go into it in the first place. I mean, I don't think that it makes sense to go into it expecting it to be an instant family, but you do have to expect that, you know, that's going to be, those are all considerations that you have to, you're confronted with when you're dating somebody that has kids. And if that's not something that you're ready for, it is best to step off, because you don't, you especially don't want someone around you that does not like kids or holds any animosity towards your child for the fact that they exist. That's not healthy to even have your children around, you know. So, from a parent's perspective, I don't. If you have any qualms about being with a person that has kids, you're probably best to just leave that alone, because all of those things are a factor and they're important considerations when you date someone that has kids.
That's true. All right, so let me go back to the article. It says, now that you feel like there's a lot of pressure on you to make your decision carefully, and there it is. As you it is to join a family, it's more to your heart than his or her to take into account. Question number one, how much time do they have to spend on the relationship, you know? And so some people may be intimately, like, involved in every aspect of their child's life. And so part of it might be the fact of them not having the ability to actually put in the time of actually spending with that particular person, because they're very involved, especially if they have multiple children. Children could be playing multiple sports, you know, after school activities, things of that sort, band, sports, you know, track, whatever, what have you, you know. Mm-hmm. And that can really take away from you and your partner's time. So the question I'm putting on the floor is, would you or would you not date someone who's seriously deeply involved, especially if they have custody of their children, and they're doing all this extra stuff, worth it to have a relationship with that particular person?
Wait.
Just came in here.
Okay, I was trying to understand the question you just asked. Would you continue to? Would you go ahead and get into a relationship with someone that's deeply involved in their children's lives? Is that what you're saying? Where there won't be a lot of time?
Like that's where they, for you? Yeah. Do they have? Do they have Would you mind it if you knew that they had multiple responsibilities with their children, you know, activities, things of that sort? Would that be something that would be appealing to you, knowing that they're spending all their time, their children are a priority, and they have to take care of those things first?
No, it wouldn't bother me. I'm a parent. It's hard for me to go against anything when a parent is involved in their children's lives. I wouldn't have an issue with it. Had I been just a single person, I might have a different perspective. I might be a little selfish and want them to spend more time with me because I might not understand the parenting factor and that you have to put that time in with your children. But me being a parent, I'm all for it. And if we can get together whenever you can find your time, that'll be fine with me. You know, I think single people with no responsibilities as far as children go, and they really don't understand that you have to take time with kids, they may have an issue with it.
So, Daoud, what's your opinion on it?
Ask the question again, bro. I'm sorry. I'm just coming in late.
I'm sorry. I said, would you want to... All right, let me just rephrase the question. All right, the question is, how much time does a person with children have to spend on a relationship? All right, and I said, would you want to be with someone who knows that they have multiple responsibilities towards their children? Their children are involved in programming, sports, or whatever, and they're going to devote their time to that first. Something.
Yo, you know what, bro? First of all, peace and love to everybody who is here. Peace and love to the superstar of War Council, Danielle. And I just want to say what's up. I don't know if Lisa's here, but peace and love. But, you know, in my experience, bro, and I can only speak as a man dealing with women, when the woman is into you, it doesn't matter how many children they have, they will prioritize you. Now, I once was in a relationship with a woman that had 11 children, and she always had time for me. So if she had 11 children and she had time for me, what's your excuse? And that's just the bottom line. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be super convenient. And if we are connected to each other and we really want to make it work, we'll make it work. I will definitely know what time, you understand, like you want me to come through, what time we got together. We'll figure out the babysitting things. But it's more so, is that person prioritizing me? That's the bigger question. The question is not if they got responsibilities to me. The question is not if they got priorities to me. The question is, are they prioritizing you? Because I know as a man who has a business, a job, a brand, a public speaking career, all of that, I still got time for the women that I want to deal with. When I want to kind of, when I want to kind of disappear, all of a sudden I become more busy. It's really just that simple. So you can say you don't have time for anybody, but you make time for what's important for you. So for me, it doesn't matter the children, it doesn't matter the obligations. What matters is, do you see me as a priority, and do you prioritize me? And if you do, we can make it happen. A lot of people be lying, though, and that's all I'm going to say. A lot of people be lying.
You're right. I agree. You know, I guess that goes down to the thing of who with no kids. I've seen this happen. They get a little selfish. I had to explain this to my daughter when she had a boyfriend that had a little girl, a baby girl, and she couldn't understand why it is he always had to have the baby with him, or he had to spend a certain amount of time away from her. And I'm like, you have to understand that he's a parent, okay? You don't have any responsibilities, okay? But he does take the time for you. It wasn't good enough for her because she, like I said, Some people that don't have children don't understand. Whether they get the thing of being a priority in that person's life, things come up when you have kids. We as parents already know this. Sometimes plans can get canceled at the last minute because kids be fucking up sometimes. They be doing shit. They hurt themselves. You got to run to the emergency room when them things happen.
If
that person that is dating that parent, they should be able to understand that as well as wanting to be a priority in that person's life. You know, some single people don't understand that. Well, why you can't send it to their other parents or something? It ain't like that.
You know why that is, though? You know why that is, though, sis? The reason why it is because they want to be the center of somebody's universe. It's really not about whether you're spending time with me or not. You want to be the center of my universe, and you now want to fight with me, you want to fight with my children for my time. And to me, that's selfish and is bullshit. You understand?
It is.
Like, my time is my time, and the children's time is the children's time. It's really just that simple. But sometimes men and women want to be the center of somebody's universe, so they use the children as an excuse, even though you're doing your best to section off time for them and give them priority. They want to be the center of your universe, so they're going to use your children. But if the children weren't there, there would be another thing that they would do. There's certain people that are so insecure that you have to be the center of their universe. And to me, children are just another thing that they're using to kind of manipulate you into making, because, you know, they say in the domestic violence world, which I'm very much a part of because I teach classes, one part of intimate partner abuse is isolation. When a man gets into a woman's life and he begins to isolate her from her family, her friends, and all these other people so that he could just abuse her and she ain't got nobody to talk to. This happens to men and this happens to women. So, you know, your children are just a byproduct of a person that is trying to commit intimate partner abuse because they're trying to make you the center of their universe, but they never really have good intentions. They always want to take that and use it in such fashion to destroy you.
Yep.
Ooh.
Honey, through experience, that isolation thing is very, very real. And what's crazy is, not to get off topic, but what's crazy is, before you even know it, you are pulled away from everybody. And then you look around and then it's like, what happened? You're here.
Yep.
It starts out, it's
I ain't got no friends no more.
It becomes a controlling thing. Man, my husband had me isolated for years. And that's crazy. Let's get back to this. I want to ask a question. What do you think about people that are already in a relationship? Say they've been in a relationship for a couple of months with this person and things are going good. But the man finds out that a woman that he had maybe a one-night stand or something, she pops up pregnant, and now this baby is due, and he wants to be a part of that child's life. How do you think certain women handle that?
I don't know. As a woman, I don't know as a woman how that would handle it. I know that some men, some men will actually. Huh? Can you hear me?
She's talking to somebody in the background. I can hear you, bro.
Okay.
I can hear you.
I'm definitely on it. Like, I know that, I don't know what women, I'm not a woman, so I really can't answer that question. I can only answer from a man's perspective. Some men, you know, if a woman is pregnant with another man's child, the man wants nothing to do with the child or have her, like, once she gets pregnant. Because we've seen this phenomenon before where a dude will like, excuse my terminology, and I can't speak for all dudes, but I've seen certain circumstances where a dude literally got a person pregnant to slow her down and to, you know, like basically inroads with that particular woman as much as he could so he basically can just jump in and out of her life, double dutching in and out of her life whenever he feels like it because of the kid. And then she meets another person, and then that man actually suits and meets all of her needs and ends up raising that child as if it's his own child. And then the brother who's on the outskirts then begins to cause problems, issues, and concerns concerning that child because he doesn't like the fact that he lost his control over that particular woman. And because, you know, that man has decided to raise that child as if it's his own, he always has beef with that guy because he's doing something that he couldn't do. But he'll go back and forth and act like anything else. I've seen situations where a man literally was with the person. He raised the child to, you know, basically, and the child basically calls him, you know, that's her daddy. Like, that's daddy as far as she's concerned, as far as the child is concerned. And that the father came in and just made a mess of things and took to court, went to court, did all this other stuff, and really wasn't doing nothing with the child. He just wanted to make the mother miserable, which is crazy to me. But, you know, and he was having problems with the dude, trying to fight the dude, all this other stuff over a child that he never cared nothing about. And it was all because he wanted to control the woman. So, I mean, like, I've seen different situations, but yo, most of the people I know that didn't.
I had a similar situation years ago when I first came to Albany. You remember, there was a dude that lived with us named, well, anyway, I ain't going to say his name, but across the street, remember you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, across the street was a fraternity house. Yeah, exactly. So across the street, there was a sorority house, and there was this one sister that lived in that sorority. She was half Korean. She was half black. That woman was so fine that the sun came out when she came outside. And I remember when that dude was like, I'm going to put some babies in that. And I was just, I'm only like 18 years old right now. I don't understand what's going on. That's a foreign concept to me. I'm like, she's fine, but why is your first thought to put babies in her? And he was like, so every night, like, he would come home, right? I'm processing right now coming into the nation, but I'm still getting drunk and stuff like that. So either way, I would come home and I would drink with him, and we would sit there and we'd drink a 40 together. He was like, all right, let me get one more swig. I'm going to go put two more in there. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? Why you keep doing this? He was like, yo, because she's going to have my baby. And what I didn't realize was, as fine as she was, that was his way of staking his claim on her. If he could have a baby by her, then he felt like he was cornering her and slowing her down. And unfortunately, she went for it, and she had his child. They're not together, of course, now, because that doesn't work. But just like women try to have babies from dudes to keep them, men do it also. Men put babies in women of all races, creeds, colors, and whatever, and they think that they're going to keep a woman or she's going to slow her down. But I think that men's reason for doing it is a lot more different than women. It's equally as sinister or more sinister, but it's different. With a dude, he'll give a woman a baby because that's his reason to bug out on her when she gets a new guy. You got my child, you know what I'm saying? I don't want no nigga around my child, this, that, and the next thing. And it just becomes a very kind of abusive, controlling situation. And unfortunately, a woman doesn't really know that's what his intention was because he ain't going to say nothing. She's thinking that if he wants to give her a child, then, you know what I'm saying, like he must love her. But what she doesn't understand is it's control, it's obsession, and it's manipulation. But you know who I'm talking about, Mojave.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's interesting to see how certain things are. Like, you know, with my ex, she had a child when I met her, right? And the father, the funny thing is that the father, he was not involved. Matter of fact, he had only held his son on the second day he was born, and then he didn't see his son till his son was, literally didn't see his son until we sent him to Louisiana to go live with his father, because that's what it was. And the crazy thing about it is that, like, his whole entire life, his father had never been a factor in any sense. But he was always calling to talk to his mother and try to figure out how it was going on. And literally, he had children the same age Like, he had, like, at that time, like, which I thought was crazy, but even me coming from a big family, but he had 12 children. And then actually the oldest, you know, who's not part of the Fluffy and Tamont, you know, but their older brother, Lee, and their mother, you know, his father didn't have anything to do with him. As a matter of fact, the trauma he experienced is because he experienced that trauma in his father's house. And so, and his father really, his father has a lot of responsibilities for a lot of things. And even to this day, his father is not involved in his life at all. Like, his father drove to Albany. He drove from Chicago and then came over to Albany. But he didn't really come to Albany to see his son and his daughter. He came to see my ex. And he had asked to stay with her when he came. After all these years, that's what he did. Like, when I heard about it, I was like, okay, that's what he's doing. But he had all of these children, you know, these children. And so there are certain people that we know that just go out and, you know, they're making extra babies and everything else like that, because that's their way of holding on to someone. That's their way of doing things like, yep, you know, let me sit you down with this. And they're not really trying to date. They're either trying to figure out, you know, a place to be, a place to stay, you know, what we say, a homosexual, homosexuals, hobo.
Homeless.
right. And you get to see how certain things are occurring when it's happened, which is nuts. But you know what? I digress. Zumina, do you have anything you wanted to add to the conversation before I move on?
Not really. I totally agree with what you guys are saying. It's crazy because I never really thought of the concept the way that I would put it, you know, that a guy would actually intentionally set out to do it. I thought it might be a byproduct of, like, just the way that a person operates when they don't know how to interact with people, but to actually do that to a woman and just be like, I'm going to put babies in her in order to stay clean. I had someone tell me once, like, someone that they thought, a mutual business partner that they thought liked me, when I got pregnant, they were like, go ahead in there, you're spoiled now, so it doesn't really matter. But,
wow,
you know, so that was like a joke. To think about it that way, it's crazy that a person would use a whole child to, like, leverage and manipulate their way into a person's life. And for that to be the intention from the beginning, it's unbelievable to me. But,
yeah, no, but it happens, sis. Trust me. This dude, you know what I'm saying, he wasn't the last dude I saw do that. And I will say this, and I'll be very transparent. I have two makeup babies, two.
Mm-hmm.
And the both of them happen to be daddy's girls. I was on my way out. I was totally on my way out, and I got brought back in two different situations by makeup girls. So I know exactly what it is, because, you know, they may. The crazy thing in this world is, people cannot just say, "I love you. I don't want to lose you. Can we work this out?" People don't know how to say that. They do it with babies. They do it with various different things, and people don't understand. Like, as a man and a woman, if a person says to you, "I love you, I don't want to lose you, let's work it out," that drives people crazy. Nothing would make a person love you more than hearing those transparent words. But we can't say that. We got too much pride. So what we got to do is we got to play the manipulation game and do some crazy stuff. Where all you understand, like, I've been with so many different women that wanted me to stay but didn't have the heart to just say, "Daoud, you're a great guy. I love you. Hey, let's do what we can to fix you. God can't lose you." Man, I've never heard that, ever. But I've always, you know, dealt with some other kind of manipulative craziness where it was like, damn, why didn't you just say that?
Wow.
Accountability.
Okay. Back to the group. Accountability is a thing. Matter of fact, in the back channel, someone wrote me and said, "I've been there. I got the T-shirt." And matter of fact, let me just read it directly. They said that, yeah, they do that on purpose. They make you pregnant on purpose, you know, to do certain things. And there's dudes who do that. There's dudes who absolutely run around at, just like there's women who go to try to keep babies. You know, we can look at it in the sense of we see this happening with NBA superstars or NFL superstars, where they go purposely to have a baby because it represents, the baby represents income that they can have, that they can do. Like one of the smartest people, Kyrie Irving is one of the smartest people in the NBA when it came to his kid, because he basically, like, the person who was the mother of his child intended on basically cashing out, and he basically kept her to a, he kept her to a budget, like literally a budget that is so manageable for him. And then he also was taking his children most of the time. So literally,
right,
she didn't win the sweepstakes like she won. Like, she thought that she was going to win out, but he basically went to court and had this, it's like ironclad thing that he basically, she can't get any more money than she expected, you know, because some of these are like, okay, well, I got this baby and my baby is entitled to the type of lifestyle that can happen from this, you know. And you'll see that happen with certain people. They'd be like, okay, let me have this particular baby or anything else. Like, you know, like Paul George actually ended up having a model having a chick, side chick, and then literally ended up marrying her and having another baby and just, you know, keeper situation. Sounds bad, actually real. Sorry, it sounds that way. Not intentional.
But if you think about it, if you're a guy, right, and you want to slow a woman down, well, you know that if a woman tries to slow a guy down with a child, he's not going to be the primary, he's not going to have primary custody. So he'll probably have to work double. But if you want to slow a woman down, if you give her a baby, you know, what's that? That's 9 months pregnancy. That's maybe 90 days worth of maternity leave. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just sticking a fork in her life. And some of these dudes actually do that. To professional career women, they will give you a baby to slow you down. It is real. It is real. It happens and it is real.
No, I don't disagree.
And that's why I think some,
bro, you know I know. Go ahead.
Yep. No, I just think that, you know, sometimes we just got to be very careful if we know what we want in life, and, you know, we decide to play in certain sketchy areas to protect ourselves. Because you can play in that area, nobody's trying to be a moralist, but you got to protect yourself, because people out there don't mean you no good, and sometimes you don't find that out to the last minute.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. Pull a Drake.
Pull a Drake? What do you mean pull a Drake?
Well, you know that the girl that thought she was casting on a sweet stage, and then she ended up trying to take him to court because after he was done
was a hot sauce.
With the hot sauce in, and she tried to inseminate herself with it. And it didn't go down like she thought.
Oh, yeah.
Instant justice.
That is one of the smartest things I've ever heard. I've never heard of that before, but I think it was so cool that he did that.
Exactly.
Nah, because the funny thing is, Drake has his son by Rose Devine, and the funny thing is, like, ever since she's had, you know, the baby by Drake, you ain't seen her. Like, she ain't been out doing nothing. Like, you don't see her posing. You see her living it up. Like, I think Drake, she keeps on the payroll or something. Or anything else going on? But whatever they got going, she is not out there like she used to be. You know, and I don't know how that works. I don't know why that works, but, you know, if we look at, like, for example, Blac Chyna, right? And so Blac Chyna has babies with Rob. She has babies with Rob Kardashian. She has a baby with Tiger.
Tiger.
And somebody else. I think she has like 3 kids, right? Wait, is it 3 kids?
Mm-hmm.
Let me check.
I think it's 2, but I know that she got shined on because she tried to false flag on social media.
Yeah.
Let's see. Does Blac Chyna Okay.
It's at least two.
Let me see.
Yeah, and one boy and
two.
Yeah, Tiger and Rob. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
She has Dream Renee Kardashian and King Cairo Stevens, what you call it. And so, so they talk about the details of that custody agreement. And so, and he's like, for example, it says when Blac Chyna was like talking about she doesn't get any child support. Now, the funny thing is, she's making millions of dollars on OnlyFans right now. Right now, she's making millions.
Oh, word?
She's getting it.
Lord have
mercy. Oh, yeah. She's getting in on OnlyFans.
Why?
Right? She's one of the most successful. Because, you know, people want to see
things.
Have
you seen that woman?
Listen.
She does it because she's a man. She's a wild card.
You know, and so the funny thing is, so the article reads, it says, after Blac Chyna claims she wasn't receiving any financial help while raising her children, Dream and King, both Rob Kardashian and Tiger fired back, sharing how they both co-parent with their respective ex. She said, yesterday I had to give up three of my cars, my reasons, my morals, beliefs, being a single mother, no support, I'm a mama, you know, she said on a Twitter account. So she says, a 9-year-old son, King Kyle Stevenson, with rapper Tiger, and a 5-year-old with Rob Kardashian. He said, single, no child support. In response to her tweets, Tiger, or the two men, revealed their contribution to their children underneath the photo by the shade room, a screenshot of Chyna's tweets, right? And they said the way they got her together was, she said, single, no child support. And so Rob Kardashian says, I pay $37K a year for my daughter's school. I handle every single medical expense. I pay for all her extracurricular activities. I have my daughter from Tuesday to Saturday. Why would I pay child support? Then Tiger jumped in with his own comment writing, I pay $40K a year for my son's school, and he lives with me Monday through Saturday. Why would I pay child support? Right? And so then he said to Rob Kardashian, he said, how you pay $3K less? Let me know the plug. So the crazy thing is that's happening, right, is that she basically, I don't know what she was doing, but I guess they got it together and everything else, because if they both have their kids for a majority of the time, and she's only seeing her kids like Sunday through Tuesday, I don't know. That's kind of weird to me. I don't know how y'all feel about that.
That's crazy.
So what?
I find that crazy for her to even feel that way. And then you have that much free time and you have, like, you can't, I don't get it.
Because it's just like those the basketball wise, the football wise. It's not about love with them or actually wanting a genuine relationship with them. It's to lock in a spot for income. That's it. That is it. As far as them being mothers and good parents and stuff like that, I've never seen, and I don't even follow these stars, but every once in a while you'll see something pop up on social media or TV, you know, with them spending time with their children, showing them actually involved. You know who I like seeing as a mother? Crazy as she is, Cardi B. She's kind of real time with her children. She does the videos in the house, and even when the children have walked up on her saying certain things, she's like, oops, you know, and turn around, and she cuts off whatever she's doing, and she goes and spends time with their child. These other ones here, like Blac Chyna, I ain't never, ever cared for her and considered her to be a good parent. It's always been about money with her. She started out as a gold digger. She ain't got no love for these men. And then to turn around after she's had the baby with Rob and do these videos and this, and now you say she got an OnlyFans? Man, please. Her thing,
yeah,
she's vindictive, she's greedy, and she, I'm not saying she doesn't care about her children. That's not for me to say. I can't. But as far as looking at her as a parent, no, I don't see it. I don't see it. I see dollar signs in her eyeballs. That's it. That is it.
I'm just saying, like, so for literally, which is crazy, is that she's trending right now. They're saying that basically that she's become the queen of content subscription service on OnlyFans, earning almost $20 million a month from the racy content that she posts. All right. And so initially popular among sex workers and physical fitness experts, which is funny because I'm going to tell y'all, here's a joke, because somebody approached my son about content. I really gotta stop posting these videos. But somebody approached me about putting up content and wanted to do partnerships because, you know, my son's working out with his body and stuff like that. That's what keeps the thing. But anyway, going back to what you're saying, right? So initially popular among sex workers and physical fitness experts, the service has become a go-to for celebrities like Blac Chyna, Bella Thorne, Pia Mita, Cardi B, and Tiger, right? And according to experts at Slotsoft, the data suggests that OnlyFans accounts want to see Blac Chyna's content more than any other celebrity on the platform, right? The actress and singer of the check with the average earnings of $11.6 million. Cardi B rounds out the top three with $9 million a month. And Tyga and Mia Khalifa complete the top five, right?
Mia Khalifa just got finished complaining about how, you know, she got divorced because the dude knew she was a porn star, and she's making that much money on OnlyFans?
Yeah. Yeah, because she can re-release her content. She can do whatever she wants to do. And regardless of the fact, the funny thing is that, you know, I don't know what the dude was expecting. Who knows anything that was going on, but she can make her own content. OnlyFans allows people to make their own content, to make their own money, to get everything else. I personally know several people with their own OnlyFans, right, technically, and seeing how they move. And some people on a good month, the people I know, they can make up to $5,000 a month, which is great. Like, that's great for someone who can add that to their income. But for other people who are top earners, like, I know, what's her name? I can't think of her name right now. She calls herself Thick Auntie or something like that. But she makes, like, she literally makes hundreds of thousands of dollars per month with her content. Like, literally. She makes that much per month. And so if you get into that top earning spot and you're creating content and you can generate your own content and do certain things, because everybody was doing that. Most of the stars. Matter of fact, what's the girl who was on, she was on Love and Hip Hop. And she's like, I'm a hoe, I'm admitting it, that, you know, I forgot her name. She pretty much stopped making hip hop songs. She just does OnlyFans. That's all she does now. That's been, she was on Love and Hip Hop. I forgot, you know, white girl from Jersey, rapper, was messing with all the rappers. Like, all she does is OnlyFans. That's, like, literally, that's all she does. But she makes enough money that it supports her lifestyle. So she pretty much stopped, right? I mean, maybe rapping is a hobby now, but before, she used to do it full time, you know, but now she's like straight OnlyFans, you know, and some other, like, the funny thing is, there's this male entertainer named Pressure, and he was one of the first people that was like on Clubhouse, like you could ask him anything, and he really had these dope conversations about the industry. And then he's like, instead of us paying these companies, and these companies giving us what I want to shoot these scenes, everything else, he said, we can now make our own content, share profits amongst each other and get a greater thing instead of us having to do this. He said, we can still do the protocols, do all the other stuff, but now we can work with who we want to work with, you know, and people will approach people to do that content, and that content is released directly to OnlyFans where people can subscribe and get that directly. I know this is not even a conversation we're supposed to be having. Not where you're supposed to be at. But after this, I'm going to land my plane.
Yeah, we're getting the OnlyFans education out this mother.
Hey, man, we are.
But,
or the, you're making me want to sign up for Skinny Fans.
Skinny Fans, yeah, I'm sorry. Look, as crazy as it sounds, there are all kinds of people who have different OnlyFans. I know poets who have OnlyFans. Like who literally have created content surrounding their poetry, but actually being the content of the poem, doing the things that they say they're doing in the poem on the OnlyFans. Real shit. And there's people who do that all the time. There's a bunch of people. I know them personally, right? I've seen the content, right? But some people, when they get to the thing and they can generate things and they can do that, they'll do that. And so, like the dude named Pressure, right? He gets to do his own content, film his own thing, set up his own camera, do his own stuff, edit his own shit, and make his own money, and still appear when people want him to do scenes, and still get the amount of money that he can get for scenes. And that's not even counting him appearing in different places. That's not counting him because some of the women on OnlyFans, you also use it to go up to different cities and do content in that city, as well as see people and do different things. They'll be like, I'm going to be over here. I'll be in D.C. from you know, August 13th to the 20th. You know, get on my schedule, all this other stuff. You know, there are people who literally, like there's some women who bodybuild where they do this rough wrestling, and they pay, like, they'll pay $100 an hour to get choked out by a muscle-bound woman. It's real shit.
Like, oh my god!
This shit actually fucking happened.
Oh my god!
Sounds crazy. You don't have to believe me. Do the research. You know me. I'm like I want you to go do the research, and I'll just be sitting there when you come back. I'm like, you be like, holy shit! I'm like, yeah, this is what this is. But imagine if you can earn. Imagine, you know, and some people, they just do what they do. So imagine, you know, Cardi B is earning $9 million a month. That's far better than any record contract that she got. That's far better. So she get $9 million a month just talking about her life or walking in and trying on clothes or something else like that. She's not really doing any content. Now Safari and what you call it, they did content. You know, but it's a husband and a wife, you know, making content. You know, and they got money for that. You know, and so, and then the other thing is about their content is that they can license the content out of that and make more money. You know, but who was really surprised when Ray J exposed Kim Kardashian's mom and said that she broke it, the whole thing?
Wow.
Imagine if only fans were around then.
Ain't no such thing as leaked Hebrew studio tape. Okay, it doesn't exist. It's purposely put out there by whoever is on that damn tape or in that movie or whatever. They're always in on it. Just like with the couple that was on, also on Love and Hip Hop, what's her name? Stevie J's baby mama. What's her name? Mimi? And the book the bottle boy talking about he left the camera in wherever they were, and then he talking about he sold the tape to somebody, and it was Mimi the whole time. She set up the whole thing. It's always scripted. I'm happy. I'm safe right where I'm is.
Nah, I'm just saying, but. Since we're gonna land a plane. We're gonna go back to the dating joint. All right. So going back to the whole thing, because we went off the deep beaten path and talked about some other craziness. Get our background music back to where we needed to be. Because you know we was out of here with the thing. You know, we have to get ourselves back on track. All right. So, going back into the segment. So, we talked about how much time they have to spend on the relationship. All right. The other thing that comes in with dating your kids is, what's the situation with the other parent? Right. So, here it says that they are on good terms. Is there extra constant source of problems and tension? Right. Either way, they're in the picture or not. If they have a good arrangement, you may not find that extra issue. Some people become very good friends with their exes, and other people hate their guts. They do different things. So, the question is, right, if the relationship is bad with their ex, right, and it's very contentious between them, would you still want to date them?
If the relationship is bad with the ex and it's very contentious, it depends.
Yeah.
It all depends on what, to me, you know what it depends on? It depends on, again, how the person prioritizes me. That's something I talked about on my live tonight, and I think that that's an underrated question that we don't ask ourselves. How does this person prioritize me? What is my role in the situation? And I don't think that that's the self-centered part of relationships. I think it's more of a realistic part, because you're, at the end of the day, you're in a relationship for you. And me and one of my good friends was talking today. He had come to me for some advice, and I said to him, I said, you know, good men and good women, we not only love, but we love to love. And I think that that's what blinds us, is because when we're in a situation with somebody that can be loved, and we can exercise our love ability, it blinds us to really what's going on in the situation. Am I making myself clear? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's almost like we get just as much pleasure out of loving somebody, you know, as being loved, but then we forget that we need to be loved still. So we get so caught up in loving somebody that we forget, hey, wait a minute, they're supposed to do certain things for me. They're supposed to learn me. They're supposed to prioritize me. And when we forget that kind of stuff, I think that's where we go wrong, because we set ourselves up to be disappointed in the given situation.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person is having a contentious relationship with their children's mother or whatever, that's really none of my business as long as they're prioritizing me. We'll fight this together, the way I look at it. But if they're using, because, you know, sometimes people use you to make their ex jealous. They use you to make their, their children's mother jealous or whatever. And you're just a chess piece. You don't even realize you're a chess piece on a board. And I've been through that before, where I was a chess piece and the person was using me to stunt on their ex. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't realize that. And the person told me that, you know, when it comes to you dealing with my ex, everything is going to change. And I was like, wait a minute. That's the reason why I'm here?
Yep.
So you got to really know what your position is. And you can always tell if you listen to people's language and what they say. Like my mentor says, listen with your third ear. You can always tell what people's motives are. They're going to tell you what their motives are.
Yep. They're either going to say it verbally, or they're going to show you. It's going to show. Eventually it will show. And you're right, because the big mistake that we make within loving to love them is we forget to love and care for ourselves too. We get so enthralled in how the relationship is going, how we're making it go, because we want them to be happy. We want them to be content, you know, and see stars and all that bullshit. But we forget about ourselves. We start neglecting ourselves. And I have done that countless times. Luckily, I didn't turn out to be a bitter person, because some people come out of it being dated and bitter and deathly afraid of getting into another relationship. And they wind up being more of a player than anything. And it's not even intentional that they are in that player frame of mind. It's just that fear from
that develop from them neglecting themselves, being involved with that person. Because, yeah, I'm one of them ones. I'm in love with being in love. That's what I know. That's all I want. But I learned who I am and learned how to continue to love myself. You know, and it's sad, but you know,
I got a story to tell. If you give me a second. So I'm going to try to change the story around so the person can't figure it out. But I went through a situation with somebody just recently where I knew them, I was attracted to them, but I never really made a move. So, what you call it? I didn't know that they was attracted to me. And what ended up happening was is that I was out at a public forum and I saw a guy. I didn't know if that was their boyfriend or not, but this nigga was wild. You know what I mean? Like this nigga caused a whole bunch of commotion at something that you should never, ever have that kind of commotion at. And so I didn't know if that was her boyfriend or not. It was what it was. So later she, like, invited me in a kind of sly way out on a date or whatever. And, you know, I thought she was fine as fuck. So I was getting ready to go out on a date with her. So what ended up happening is after I agreed to go out on a date, it was like a day before we went out on a date, she started throwing up all of these thirst traps on Facebook, right? I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm responding to the pictures because she's beautiful. I find her very attractive. Yo, how about old boy that caused a commotion at that thing shared one of the pictures and said mine? I was like, oh, shoot. Why are we going on a business date and you with this wild nigga right here that could eventually say what?
What did he say when he shared it?
He said mines. You know how some of the sisters when they share a dude, they say mines? He put mines.
Okay. Wow.
Basically staking his claim because he saw the activity between me and her. We was flirting back and forth and he wanted to stake his claim like, hey, this is my girl, which is no problem with it, but she was getting ready to get me killed. Because this dude is violent, he, you know what I'm saying? Or what, not get me killed because I'm going to fight back. But nevertheless, he's going to put me in a situation I didn't have to be in. And I think sometimes people don't understand they be playing too much. They put you in a situation that, you know, they don't think it's going to turn into what it usually turns into. Lives are lost. You know what I'm saying? At the very least, freedom is lost. And for what?
Yep.
Because you wanted to play games with the guy that you was with?
No,
you understand? So sometimes I think that people just be playing games, and they get people caught up, and it's not necessary. So you know what I did when he shared that, right? Oh, hey, listen, I canceled that date. I had something else to do, blah, 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 blah. And she never even really questioned me about it because she knows what it was. She knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm. People are absolutely aware of what they do. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Is it goes back to this selfishness thing. They don't take into consideration the repercussions of their actions in the game that they play. They think it's cute, it's funny, and all of it is until somebody gets hurt, somebody actually takes action.
Exactly.
You know, and it's sad. Y'all wonder why I say to my damn self. I'm trying to tell you, I don't need the drama or headache. It's ridiculous. I'm glad you got out of Dodge City, though.
Man, that was going to be crazy. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, like, why would you do something like this to me? I've been nothing but nice to you, but people don't care. They got their agenda, and they're going to carry out their agenda.
Yep.
Wow. Crazy. Alright, so that's a lot. It's a lot of different things that you can do from different angles of how that happens because, you know, the potential partner could be, like, crazy. And I think I told the story about the time I went with someone and her baby daddy was Jamaican. That dude was like, I'm sorry, I had to call, Dawood, I had to talk to some OGs to get this dude up off me, you know, because I didn't know that he was, like, threatening somebody, you know? Yeah, And so, you know, back in the day, you had to talk to them, like, geez, no, geez. Like, yo, what's happening? Blood. I'm like, yo, Jamaican cat wouldn't leave me alone because such and such, you know. And like, he's like, oh, you know, we're going to talk to him. And then after that, it's funny, but he left all me shortly after that. But in that sense, you know, you always have somebody who, you know, they don't hate, you know, they hate the player. They don't hate the game, you know.
Right. And then there's some people out there, they know that they lady be philandering or they do be philandering, and they will not dress their lady or dude. They're only going to address the people that they philandering with.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? And when you're in a situation like that and you know it, say what, Daniel? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying, I know somebody like that. I know a woman that is married to a guy, and she knows he messes around. She knows he does. And you know what she
right.
does? For every woman that he messes with, she goes and beats up the woman. But it doesn't
right,
stop
right,
him
right, right.
from
That's
going
what I'm
to
talking about.
Playing. And I'm like, I looked at her, and I'm like, I don't understand you. If you know you married this kind of man, why are you going after these women? These women are not pursuing him, and that's the thing. They're not pursuing him. He's out there just like he's fucking for a baby, okay? He's going after these women, and she knows that he's pursuing. And I'm like,
right.
I don't understand, why are you attacking these women when you should be leaving his ass alone? Let him do what he's going to do. Leave him alone, okay? And she was like, because I love him. No, you don't love him. You're obsessed and you're possessive. That's what it is. It's not love. Okay? I will never understand it. I will never understand it. You folks crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
That's crazy,
sorry.
But... Nah, that's pretty much what it is. It's what it happens to be. I opened Paul's mic. I don't know if Paul is here. Because I hadn't heard him.
Yeah, I'm
Paul.
Here.
There you go.
All right.
Yes, I'm here.
That's my guy. What's
going on?
No, what's happening?
I've been sitting here listening to all of this, and there's one thought process that just overpowered my mind. This is all the result of us seeking a relationship instead of waiting for God to produce that relationship that he designed for us, with or without
mm-hmm.
child. I mean, after all, Joseph kept and accepted Mary pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Without any explanation, really, of a father, something that was completely unheard of. But he stayed there because he allowed God to lead. When we go on the hunt and we look for our own desires, we're looking from our flawed selves. And we're looking for things that just won't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a woman, if you're seeking a woman who does not put her children first, you need to run. Because if she doesn't care for her kids, what do you think she's going to do for you just for a night of pleasure?
Mm-hmm.
And what examples are you as a man leaving for these children to see the hit-and-run mentality or an occasional bumpy-bump and I'm out? And there's a lot more of responsibility and accountability for each of us when we enter into a relationship. And if you're not ready, prepared, or God hasn't told you that that's the one for you, you need to stay in your lane. But we don't do that. We allow those pheromones and hormones to guide us into things that generally end up in heartbreak and a whole lot more ripple effects that we don't even consider it from the beginning, because we didn't start it from a godly beginning.
Oh, wow. All right. Pastor Slake with the good word.
Yes, sir.
But
it's not always the popular viewpoint. But when it's his viewpoint, it ain't never the wrong one.
But listen, we respect all perspectives here, sir. We respect it.
Absolutely. I know this. That's why I'm running my mouth now.
Anyway,
well, I shouldn't even be on here. I am sick as a dog, but I just had to pop in anyway.
You and me both. Don't bring your butt over this side of the neighborhood, them germs.
Oh, I'm coming to see you tomorrow. Bring her some food. She won't say no. Bring her some food. She won't say no.
Oh, Lord.
You try to set her up for failure.
Bring her a brownie. She'll be all right.
All right, so we're gonna land our planes and go back to the dating thing with the kids. All right, so how much a role in parenting does a person who's dating someone's kids expect to have? Right. So I'm gonna throw out two scenarios real quick.
Say it again, son. How much what?
How much of a role in parenting do they expect you to have? All right. Will they expect you to parent the same way you do? Or they prefer not to get involved and leave, like, disciplining and anything else. All right, so number one, I'm pretty sure if you're just dating somebody, you don't let them discipline your children. You know, I don't know if that would happen for anybody else. I know that can't happen around me. You best not touch none.
Let me give you a scenario. And I was talking about this earlier today. What if, because I just think a lot of times we don't consider oh my God, I was blowing water with nothing in it. I think a lot of times we don't consider the other person's parenting choices and style when we choose a mate. And what ends up happening is even if you look the other day or the other way, it's going to blow up against your door sooner or later. So if you date somebody with small children or even teenagers and they let them get away with bloody murder, they don't discipline them, this, that, and the next thing, well, eventually it's going to come back to you with one of two ways. Either it's going to be in your face and you got to deal with it, or that person is going to constantly be talking to you about them and you got to deal with it. But you got to deal with it. There's no turning the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, what I've seen or what I have seen is there are certain – nobody's asking you to put hands on children, but then there's certain times where you're going to have to assert yourself. And these are rare occasions, but there's certain situations where you're going to have to assert yourself and you may have to get physical with that child. I don't mean beating them or smacking them or anything crazy, but let's just say, like, you know, you're dating a dude, right, and he doesn't discipline his children. His children is wild. So his child decides to run out the house, and they may run into the street. Your ass has to grab that child. What you going to do? I don't put hands on children. You understand? You got to do that. So there's sometimes you have to physically restrain. Say what now?
Get that out.
Say what now? Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like what's the choice? The choice is you don't touch the child runs into the street and gets killed, or you snatch that fucking child up and you know what I'm saying, like you just gotta deal with the backlash. Sometimes I think that when a woman or a man doesn't really parent their child and let them do whatever the fuck they wanna do, you get put in a situation where you gotta make a decision, and the decision is gonna be life or death for the child, but it may look like you're trying to abuse the child. Sometimes it happens. Now, if you just slapping children or you just doing shit like that, I mean, that's OD. But I'm just saying, in a very extreme case, you may be put in a situation where you have to do something physical and it may not look right, but you know you had to do that, because if you didn't, that child was history. Those are scenarios that I like to talk about and think about.
You know, I think that's a very real occurrence and something that needs to be considered in the onset of any relationship. But this, I think, is why the Bible stresses that you be equally yoked if you're going to enter into a relationship where there are children that are not your biological children, you two have to be on the same page with what you're going to go forward with from this. Children, once you have babies, your life is done and over with. It's about them babies. So your ability to run the clubs and hit the clubs and lead the kids home, all of that is done and over with. It's about those babies. They didn't ask you to lay down, spread your legs, or for you to drop your seat off to create them. Therefore, your life was forfeit. Now, you have to find somebody that's on the same page with you to be able to effectively raise those children, which means, once again, you have to wait for that mate instead of going on the hunt and seeking what your eyes tell you is that one, because she got a big badunkadunk, or that one that the dude is, oh, that's the man for me, because you see a little print in his pants, or he got a good physique, or he got a good job. It's a complete package when you're entering into a relationship and you have children involved. They must at all costs, at all times, be first and foremost in any decision that you make, if they're the innocent one. Mm-hmm.
Well, my rule of thumb is, for me in particular, I've never had anyone, and I mean anyone, discipline my children that were directly related or something like that. So, and anything else that goes on when people are doing different things, they feel the way that they're feeling. But for me, you know, unless anything else is going to go on, you can't discipline my children. That's not your job. Especially if we're only dating. And, you know, if anything, if I'm seeing someone with their children, I'm never going to put hands to their children because that's not my job. You know, you know, I mean, you can do a bunch of things, but, you know, sometimes, literally, regardless of the fact that child might be acting out simply because that they know that you're not their parent and they can get away with it, or they know their parent is not going to respond to it. You know, like, I remember one time I took my son out to like, we went out for his birthday, and he had a friend, you know, a little white kid, and he was wilding the hell out, and his grandmother just couldn't stop him. So I was just like, listen. I said, listen. If you don't stop, I'm just going to take him. I'm going to take my son. I'm going to go home, and there's nothing you can do about it. And he chilled out after that point. Like, he really, like, he was like, oh, I don't have any control. I was like, you don't have that. Like, I'll figure out a way to get to you without getting to you. But I know when somebody's out of control, and sometimes when a child is out of control, you know, you might have to stop him from doing certain things. But me, I'm never going to put my hands on him because that's not my job, you know, with anything else that goes on. But, you know, with me, it's like, you know, I suggest for anything else to do the same. If they plan on hurting themselves, I'll call a professional, come in and come get them. But I'm not going to be the person and be like, yo, let me put hands to you because this is what needs to be done. Now, if my kid is out of pocket and I know they're out of pocket, oh, then they got to see me. You've got to come check me out and things of that sort. But anyway, going back to what we were saying, all right, so the other scenario I wanted to point out, since we're expecting a role of parenting, we all know we had talked about the thing about I don't know which one we brought it up, where the woman went out on a date with a guy and then she asked the guy to buy extra food for her kids so she could take it home.
Mm-hmm.
It was like their first date or something like that. She's like, yeah, buy me extra entree so I can take home to my kids, you know. So if you're dating someone, are you expected to provide for their children financially?
It depends on the level of your dating. In the beginning, heck no. But as you begin to grow together I think that your desire to be a part of this complete package, there's a certain time where you would just naturally just offer to do things for these kids because that's part of the growth as a unit. Not it's a complete package. It's not just you and her. It's you, her, and those kids. But from the gate, no, you better not be asking me to be feeding your children. No. That's the point we have to go with. And we're starting to really feel each other, then I'm going to automatically try to incorporate those kids in what we do because that's part of who you are that I'm attracted to.
Right.
But don't come out from the gate. Then I'm thinking gold digger, and guess what? There won't be another date. There will be no follow-up. See you later. Bye-bye.
I had gone on a date with a guy. This was our very first date, and it was, I don't know what it is with me and the spur of the moment thing, but it was actually, he was just coming to see me and talk to me, and he was like, you know, you want to take a ride somewhere and blah, blah, blah. So we wound up turning it into a date, and we went to a pizza shop, and he knew I had my one son here at home. He knew my other two kids were grown. And he actually offered to, he was like, what about your son? I'm like, I wasn't thinking about him or nothing like that. Got food in the house. And he's like, would you like to take a slice home for him? I'm like, sure. But I've never, I don't know, I have an issue with asking people for shit anyway. So,
Now, in a case like that, I give props to myself because he thought about the entire package, and he offered.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely nothing wrong with that. That shows a side of him that in a situation, if I were in a situation like that with a female, that would be a plus. If I had some kids and the female, somebody here, well, can I buy a piece and send home to your kids? That's going to be a plus in her court because she's thinking about more than just me and her. She's thinking about
right. What
else is part of me, which is my kids. Because if you can't accept my kids, you and I ain't got no chance whatsoever, never.
It rocks.
But you know,
Hold on. So that was
me, myself.
Hold on. Paul. Hold on. That was, go ahead.
Lord have mercy.
Right,
me myself, I get involved with somebody, I'm absolutely gonna take care of their children.
Right.
That's just what it is. I think that any upstanding dude, if you get involved with a woman and you love her, you're gonna love her children. And how do you say, all right, I'm coming through to take care of the lady, but y'all can kick rocks and take care of yourself. It just doesn't work like that. And for me, I just know I'm going to do that. I'm going to make sure I take care of the children. I'm going to make sure I take care of her. I'm just going to make sure I contribute to the whole thing. Now, mind you, if she's working also, has a decent career, whatever, you know, then we take care of the children together. But in no way, shape, or form am I getting involved with any woman that has children and I ain't contributing to their life. In no way, shape, or form. That's crazy. As much as I love children, that's crazy.
All right.
And to me, you know, taking care of the children first starts with your example as a man. Because, like I had put on my Facebook page sometime this week, I was talking about how whenever I went to the bank, because I use what's called the Dave Ramsey envelope system, and I section off my money every time I get paid to the various different bills I got to pay, so I ain't got to worry about robbing Peter to pay Paul at the end of the month. And I took my daughter to the bank with me every single time I did that. And so now she practices the same system, but she improved it. She made it better. And to me, passing down those kind of things to somebody else's children, that is more important than you taking care of them financially or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Your example, if you're an upstanding man and, you know, you get up every day, you have a routine that's positive, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that, those children are watching you. And they're going to emulate that as they grow up. And they're going to say, listen, my dad wasn't around, blah, 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 blah. But my stepdad came into my mom's life, and that man did this, that, and the next thing. You couldn't ask for anything other than that. But if you're just there, and you're just there for physical pleasure or whatever, 10 years, you're not going to do nothing for the children, and it shows.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So,
and
so
you are.
I want to make sure we spread everything around. Hold on.
Should.
Go ahead, finish your thought, Paul.
You're an example of what
Paul,
a real man should. And that's an example of what a real man should desire and just automatically do. As the nurturer, as the protector that we are, it's a whole thing. You know, she has children. Okay, exactly. Those kids are part of the past. I'm going to look out for them when they need. And the most important thing you said is I'm going to set a proper example.
Yes, sir.
Because these kids today don't have those father figures in their lives. They don't really know how to be a man. They're letting the TV and the streets teach them how to be a man, and it's all messed up. Our presence in their lives,
what is the name?
Even outside of a relationship, just as a mentor or the neighbor, we have to set an example for these kids of what a man is supposed to do. You know, to open the door for a young lady, to walk on the proper side of the street, to shield the young lady. All these things were put in place for a reason, to establish our roles in a relationship. And it's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to those of us who know to every now and then just, you know, tap a little young man on the shoulder. Young king, you know, a real man does this for a lady just because he's supposed to.
Right.
You know? And what you were saying is 100% correct. It should be automatic. This should not, it's a no-brainer. If I'm going to get into a relationship with you and you have children, I have to think to myself, am I ready for this? Am I willing and able to do this? Because I can't just get her for booty calls. It's all or nothing.
Right.
That's what a man does. Unfortunately,
Paul, did you
men
just
are
call?
Dwindling and males are increasing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on. Before we get into that, Paul, did you just say booty calls? Did I hear you say booty calls?
He sure did.
Yeah.
Pastor Sinky said booty calls. All right, so before we get into it, because there's everybody's entitled to an opinion, but there are some people who feel they feel like they are not entitled. I'm not saying like this, that, you know, I think it's a case by case, but some people do not feel like they're entitled, that they should provide for someone that they are not directly involved in, committed to, or have anything just because they're dating someone. They may not feel like they're anything involved with the kids. And then on top of that, I can state for other people, I know somebody who was married to somebody who had kids, and the minute that person decided that they wanted to leave the relationship, they shut the relationship off with that person and the kids, even though that person had been raising that kids to a certain amount of time. And so their rule became from this point forward, I'm not doing anything for your kids if you know, you're trying to establish a relationship with me until there's something solid, there's marriage, engagement, or something else like that, and that's their right. You know, I do believe that if you love someone enough, you will love their children naturally because they are byproducts of who that person is, that each person represents a different aspect.
Absolutely.
You know,
right.
So with anything else that happens, that can naturally occur, but that's organic and that's not for everybody. Usually some people who know that they have children, there are certain people who will isolate those children, in some cases abuse them in some form or fashion until they get their own children, or create a schism where they treat the other children different than the ones that they actually have. You know, because I experienced that in my past marriage, where I tried everything I could to raise the son, the oldest son, like he was mine, but she always made it a difference between me and him. So that I was like, well, fine. You know, once he got to a certain age, I said, listen, I no longer have to care about anything that you do. And I tell people all the time, like, I don't have nothing to do with him, you know, because he's essentially, I was like, listen, I don't know who was there from this. I said, your father barely paid child support. He never came to see you. He wasn't here every Christmas. He didn't put food in your stomach. He didn't put a roof over your head. Didn't give you shit. Didn't do shit. Excuse my terminology, I was a little upset. Didn't do shit. But somehow, this dude is entitled to more respect than me, the person who actually raised you.
Right.
And then here you are doing all this crazy stuff in the world. And I'm like, well, that's cool because that's what you would, that's your lineage. That's who you come from. That's what it is, you know. And he would say, he's like, I feel like they treat, you know, like they get treated differently than me. And so literally, their mother was always trying to make me do extra for him because my kids were always, like, provided for. And then it got down to the point where, you know, where my son, where it felt like somebody's, you know, like my son was being treated different from my daughter because my daughter hung more with her mother than she hung with me. And she would do more of those things with her. And I was like, listen, if you want stuff, you got to come over to this side of things. And then mother spent a lot of time telling them when they were growing up that my family hated them and didn't want to be with them just to manipulate them. So, oh, their family hates you, doesn't want to be with you. And really, it was that case. They just disliked her.
Right.
Had nothing to do with the kids. And then my son found out the truth and just stuck close to everything else. And then my daughter, she just found out stuff recently, and now she's like, well, this is my family too, this is that. And I'm like, you got to find these things out. But that can happen on any case where you try to care about someone else's children and be about them, and then that person decides to manipulate the situation. So even if you want it to be a certain thing, those things have actually changed. But
yeah,
we are down to the last 12
minutes.
It's
not a storybook situation, though, son. It's like, you know the dude Eric Thomas, or is it Eric Thomas? He calls himself E.T., the motivational speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he tells a story about how he doesn't know his real father, and the dude came in, and he's from Detroit, Michigan. So a dude came in, this dude was from the hardest project in Detroit, Michigan, and he came in and he loved his mother to death, like was there for her, was there for his children, came to his football games, and as soon as he got in his teens, he challenged that man to fight because that man was trying to tell him not to do certain things that he didn't want to listen. And he said, I was a fool. He said, here this man came in. He stepped in. He took care of me, was at my football games and all this other stuff. And I had the nerve to get in his face. So sometimes it's not a storybook ending. Sometimes the children are so confused by the dysfunction of the situation that they don't know that you are there to be a blessing to them. And they just, you know, you ain't my dad, you ain't got to listen. It's really hard.
Right.
Sometimes you can take care of children and be there for them, be a good example and love them, and then they get older and they act like they don't even know you. You know what I'm saying? I've been through that. So it's like, you know, like, oh, this guy really wasn't nobody. And it is what it is. Like, you really have to have a selfless heart to be that guy. You have to be a person that does things for the love and not because you're going to get something back, because if you do, there's a good chance some children ain't never going to pay you back, and then what? You'd be bitter.
Absolutely. And that's a really, it's a real situation, a very prevalent situation in today's world. And it's sad because at times the biological parent will use the kids as a weapon, so to speak. Just because your relationship with her has failed or with him has failed, that separate from that person's relationship with that child. That child has come to know that person as, like you said, as a stepfather or as a male figure in their life. You should not take that from that child because you're embittered with the person. But unfortunately, it happens in a lot of situations.
Yep.
And it's sad because the kids are the ones that suffer. And as you pointed out, down the line when the truth is actually revealed, because what's done in the dark comes to light, it can go in a variety of ways. You can actually, that child can actually end up with resentment towards the biological parent because of them keeping them from a relationship with that person that they had started to grow a bond with over some BS.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's a dangerous situation when you're using kids as a ploy or as a weapon or as a way to get back at or to manipulate situations.
But that's what people do when they have children. Now, when they have children, people know that they can leverage, especially if they know that the person loves their child, and they know that that child is most certainly important to them more than anything else. When the child becomes leveraged, mm-hmm. it becomes a pawn playing the game in order to make certain things happen. And that can happen whether there's a biological relation or not, if a person decides to do anything. I remember with my ex, he was taking care of this girl, this little girl named Dominique, right? And so Dominique's father, whose name was Guy, I'm sorry, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to say last names, but he really wasn't shit about it. He's like, about his kids. He really didn't care about it like that.
So far.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I didn't say last name. Anyway, so literally and figuratively, like, this little girl, like literally was like the world to me. Like, I took her everywhere with me. And then eventually what happened was, it was before I got married, like, she started getting upset with me about taking care of the baby. And the thing was, like, the baby started, like, you know, like, looking for me, you know, anything else. And I would take her with me. I would take her to the laundry room, take her out, go to the store, do walks with her, you know, because her mother happened to be an addict. And she was, like, she basically went to rehab, and that's how we ended up with her. And so, like, in the short time that we had her, you know, like, I really, like, I became, like, a father. Like, I became a father to that little girl. Like, everything that went wrong with her, I did, you know, top to bottom. You know, I think it was, like, the best training I had ever received in my life. Because, you know, literally, I learned to care about someone other than myself. Like, really look after someone's needs. And so, what had happened was that literally, like, my ex decided that thought that I was paying her way too much attention. I was like, nah, it's a baby, you know, you gotta pay attention to a baby, you know. And she literally found ways to actually do it else. And literally we were in a position where we could have adopted her, but she chose not to.
Wow.
Because she thought that the baby was competition. So that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually real. And so, and then we ended up giving the baby back to her mother, right? And then the mother, it was like crazy because the father had other children. And so the father felt like if we got this one, we should take care of the other ones too. And there was three of them.
Oh, wow.
And two of them had really sticky fingers. Two of them had really, really sticky fingers. And the other one, he was just emotional all the time about everything. Like I remember one time I was going to go to the store, right? And so back in the days, you know, you used to get those 25¢. The 25-cent ice pops,
mm-hmm.
that you get, right? Remember those 25-cent ice pops? You know, the Hershey joints, right? And so, sorry. At the time, I was like, yo, you know, you can have two, right? I was like, you can have two. Manny's going to have one, blah, blah, blah. You know, give the baby one. And so, he got upset. He's like, I'm bigger than them. I should have four. I said, no, you can have two. He's like, I want four. And I was like, you're only having two. And that's it. Right? And the thing that killed me was he was trying to take.
Hello? I think Mojave dropped.
What time is it?
I think Mojave
dropped
off.
No. The 10:56. Show would end. You might have muted it, so.
Yeah, either you dropped or you muted yourself.
Okay, well, maybe you did drop because it's not overtime yet, so.
Okay, let me take the stage and ask a question to y'all while my brother's getting ready to come back. What do you feel, how do you feel about dealing with a partner with special needs children? Now, me, myself, I have two special needs children, my two youngest daughters. One of them is on mm-hmm. the full spectrum, and the other one is, like, on the emotional spectrum. But they don't necessarily, they don't live with me. However, mm-hmm. you know, as a dude, you know, you may deal with a woman with special needs children. As a guy, you may deal with a whatever, you know, vice versa. And I know that special needs children are responsible for high rates of divorce. Not the child itself, but just the situation, because
right,
it just causes a lot of conflict when people ain't on the same page.
So would you date somebody with special needs children? I'm going to go first and say yes, because I already have. The person I spoke of earlier, she had like three or four special needs children, and I loved all of them. I really did. I loved all of them. But, you know, when you got you have a partner with a special needs child, you have to realize there's a possibility that child's got to stay by their side for life. You will never be an empty nester.
Yeah.
So that's a huge ask to give somebody.
Yeah. But you know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm done, sis. Go ahead.
I think this is an unfair question because I'm a parent. And I love children. It doesn't matter whether they have special needs or if they just super hype or active or just basic kids. If they have special needs, then I would tend to dote on them a little bit more so. And I would get an understanding with the parent of their child. What exactly is it that they require? What is it that's necessary? To tend to them. I mean, a child is a child. Things happen in life. I can't say I'll turn away from them. I just would love them. I mean, it's the same. A child is a child. That's it. I mean, if they need extra special attention, well, then that's what they get. I love kids.
Yeah, I agree.
Word.
I agree. I think that in all situations, a person who is looking for a healthy relationship with another person is looking for equity in their life. They're not looking for some sort of equality with everything else that they have going on. It's just they want a sense of importance in their life, not a specific amount of time or a specific amount of energy. It's just, how important am I to you, you know? And I think that if you were to go into a relationship with a special needs person, you are going to need to go into that with, you know, being eye to eye with that person, being eye to eye with that child as well, to understand that there is a special relationship required. And it's no different than, I don't think it's any different than the fact that a parent is going to prioritize their children, especially when they're in mid-care. And a parent who doesn't, that should be a red flag going into the situation anyway. But so when you go into these relationships, it's like, are you looking, is that person able to give you what you need? Are they sufficiently pouring into you the way you'd like to pour into them? Is there a relationship that has, you know, an opportunity to grow? And I think it's important to find that out before you even introduce, you know, your children to the person that you're dating. That's how when we were getting on the conversation earlier, we were talking about, you know, is a person required to take care of a person's kids? If you feel required to do anything, you are in the wrong situation. Now, do you desire of yourself in any way? If you desire to do that, then you will, and it won't feel like a loss. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be coming from your heart, and you're pouring out into those people. But if you're not doing that, then you've already lost. And I think that a lot of times we get so anxious to find a connection or a coupling, especially when we have kids, because it makes things easier than to try to have a organic dating relationship with a person. It's easy to try to just fit the two boxes together, but those relationships with the other person and your child have to grow in an organic way, and you can't just try to force them together, because that's where resentment will come from the kid and from the other.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I have a question.
I would love that too.
What if you were dating someone, right? And going back to a special needs child or just a child, you see that there's something that needs to be corrected on that child's body, and it's possible that it can be done, but the parent is like dragging their feet on it, but they do talk to you about it. Do you give advice and push them, or do you just let them go ahead and talk to you about it and leave it at that?
Hmm.
about?
What was the choices again?
Okay.
Do you what?
Okay, listen. I have a friend, and his daughter needs corrective surgery on her feet. Be done now while she's still young, because clearly they're going to have to break the bones to set them so they can grow in right. And my thing is, I suggested that he do that now. Stop waiting so long, because the older she gets, the more I think it's going to be more difficult. Not that it can't be done, but I think it's best that you have it done now because she's real, real young. But he's kind of like dragging his feet on it, and I don't want to keep harping on it. Would if you were in my position, would you keep saying something to the parent about it, or would you just say it that one time and leave it alone?
I probably would say it that one time and leave it alone.
Well, I feel like, I think if I was close to that person, even if I wasn't, if I had the ability to do it, sometimes situations like that, especially if the parent is not familiar with the process of going about it, the next best thing I would say to offer them would be like, okay, these are specialists, or this is what has to happen, or additional information that might make it easier for them to make the decision. Offering them resources might be helpful, but you can't make the decision for them. The only thing that you can do is make the decision making it easier for them by offering whatever information that you can get a hold of, as if you were another parent, because you're not going to just jump into a surgeon and just say, okay, well, the first person that I see is the person I'm going to take my child to. So if you're like, okay, well, here are a couple of different people that you might be able to talk to, or a couple of different resources, or I read this about this, here's an article about it, or a video, or something that just makes the decision-making process easier for them, I think that would be an additional step, but you can't make the decision for them. You can't. You have to let them make those decisions for themselves.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
Nina coming off the bench throwing nothing but touchdowns.
Thank you.
I don't know what's going on with High Phone. How did you mute yourself, or what happened? Because
I got kicked out. It kicked me out, and then I had to come back, which was weird. But you know what? It is a school night, and so I'm glad that everybody had a good time talking, and I was trying to blow my nose and get everything else. But with that being said,
this was dope, man.
You know, it was a good conversation. It was a super dope conversation. Although I didn't get through all the stuff that I had, it's okay.
When you left, we started the special needs conversation, and that was dope.
The what?
I said we started the special needs conversation when you left.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. The funny thing is that special needs is such a broad, and I have such a broad spectrum. You know, I don't know if anybody knows, like, my son receives special services and stuff like that. Like, and they're like, you know, he went from IEP to 504 and different things that are going on. And right now we're in the process of going through, but he's a regular classroom. But the cool thing about it is that, you know, like they're like his emotional intelligence is off the chain. Like he's beyond, like he's a genius in certain things. It's just he suffers with math and science, you know, but those are always things he needs help with. But everything else, like his ability to analyze and deduct things, it's not like even like he's his age. It's like he's a whole other person. So, you know, but if they were to look at his thing, they'd be like, oh, he's a person that has special needs. And I'm like, not really. You know, I think the person misdiagnosed him. I said, but a lot of times when we're talking about people on the spectrum and doing certain things, he's not on the spectrum. But there are parents who have children who are. And actually, if you're involved with those parents, you naturally will start to learn how to do certain things because you deal with people on the spectrum. You deal with the people and the things that are happening, and that becomes part of your relationship with them in building because you start to look at those things differently. So I'm sorry I missed that portion of the conversation that I started. That probably sounded
no, what you had was dope, but
okay. Yeah. You know,
what you had was definitely dope.
So, but I mean, with anything else, because I'm gonna try to drink some tea and get myself cooked tomorrow. So it's a very good day, and it's a very good day because I gotta somehow get myself together enough to do everything else, but. I'm going to keep taking this elderberry and do this other stuff and wait for this other thing because take this other section of medicine beforehand and try to actually sleep and not cough up eight lungs or do anything strange. But that's just me. Other than that, so let's close this out like this. What is your best practices for someone who wants to date someone with children? And we'll just go around and then we'll close it out that way. So we'll start out with you, Danielle. And we'll go from that. So what's the best practices? What advice would you give to someone who's going to date someone with kids?
Be patient. Be patient and understand. And Dawu said earlier, make sure you know that they are prioritizing you and not just seeing you at a convenient thing. They are making room for you in their life if they want to have that relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dawu, what is your best practices?
My best practice is to learn to build a love with that person first, and I think that your relationship with the children will become easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Zuena, what's your best practices?
I would say that my best practice is not to date them. Not to date them because they have children or to avoid dating them because they have children. If the relationship isn't growing in an organic way, you shouldn't be meeting their children. You shouldn't be involved in their children's lives. And if you don't see where there is a mess with the fact that the way that that person lives their life and the things that you expect from a partner don't match up, don't try to force it by, you know, manipulative tactics, the ones that we were talking about today.
That makes sense. I agree with the whole thing, the practice and everything else like that. More importantly, to me, be kind. Understanding that person might be suffering under stresses and things that you may know nothing about. And it may influence, you know, that may influence them, their trauma may influence them, anything may influence them to where they're dealing with what they deal with, and then try to make space for you. And it can necessarily be kind of difficult if everything is not made to order and up to spec. So, that being said, God bless y'all. Good night. Thank you for another fantastic time here on War Council. I appreciate every single one of you. Shout out to Danielle and Serena and Paul Spencer for coming, of course. Dawudi, big Dawudi. And I'll do a thank you. And shout out to For Real, we see you. And everybody who's listening and participating in this conversation, it's been a pleasure. So I wish y'all the best. And this podcast will self-destruct in 10, 9, 8,
7. Good night, everybody. Thank you for
the Maxwell Smart. Yeah, this is dope. Thank you all for coming.
Two.
Yeah, thank you.